Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about some agreed-upon metrics to discuss our current parenting priorities. And you can find more family resources at mystronghome.com.
Well, when you talk about metrics, you're just kind of talking about the measurable things. And we'll apply that a little bit today to raising teens and parenting teens. Being a teen in today's world is really challenging, and it's probably way tougher than it was way back when. I mean, it's more complicated for sure.
It does seem more complicated. And, you know, drugs and things like that are so much more accessible. That adds a whole other dimension of, I don't know, is danger the right word?
Well, it would seem that in our tech-rich, media-saturated society that the sheer affluence of our nation would ensure happiness for our growing teens. But it's easy to minimize their pressures from an adult perspective and cast everything on either a motivated or unmotivated paradigm. So here are some things to be aware of as you design strategies to get your teens and preteens through what we like to call the tunnel.
Yeah, and interesting that a parent told us recently that their kid was in the tunnel, and even their kid recognized it. And you may think because all your kids' friends are in it and yours isn't, well, it can happen overnight. So true, it may not happen to yours, but the chances are slim. It really seems to be a necessary passage of growing up.
Yep. I like to summarize it with the word, huh?
Well, and it's probably why there's the scripture. I'm reading this out of the message, Proverbs 30, 18, 19. Three things amaze me. No, four things I'll never understand. First one is how an eagle flies so high in the sky. The second is how a snake glides over a rock. The third, how a ship navigates the ocean. You know what number four is?
No, what?
Why adolescents act the way they do. See, isn't that a relief to hear?
It is. Apparently, it's an ongoing process, even though you might call an adolescent something different in different ages.
Yes, but it crosses culture, apparently.
Well, we call this particular approach today the understanding years, because as our teens face the challenges and the rigors and the pains of growing, us bringing understanding and the right kind of perspective is a big part of what it means to be a parent and to guide through that process. But it can seem kind of thankless because of some of the challenges, but it's really a time to grab a hold and keep a hold of our faith, keep a hold of our perspective, and make sure that we're supplying the things that our kids really need to make the transitions that they're experiencing.
Well, and I probably won't be able to keep myself from making this point again later, but really, if you had trouble in your teen years, sometimes it's hard to like grow up past those and not bring those back in when your own kids are going through it. You know, you sort of want to retaliate.
Yes.
To the people that are hurting them in the same way that you got hurt. And so, you know, you got to dig deep and go beyond that.
Well, today I want to talk about some of the pains of what it means to be a teenager and going through the understanding years. First one is facing the pressure that I may let someone down. You know, we've adjusted to that. You know, we've let people down, we've been let down. But for a teenager, you know, that's really something huge to process.
Yeah, it is. And even when you feel like your kid is doing weird stuff, they're trying to fit in with someone somewhere. And so we found that doing our best to keep communicating and not letting them slip out of family time was really advantageous.
Well, it's especially difficult when it causes a person to feel scrutinized, and you'd rather just fit in. So even if it seems that our kids do not care a whit about what we think, don't take it personally. Sometimes the most rebellious behaviors respond best to a kind, patient response, even when you'd rather throttle them.
Yeah, and I'll give you an example. Each of our kids came home sometime during middle school, and honestly, what seemed like overnight, they had added a huge dose of sarcasm and smart aleckiness to their comments. And I remember asking our oldest if that's how she and her friends talked to each other at school. And she said, yes. And I said,
bring it home.
We were standing in front of the dishwasher. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I said, well, that's cool. You know, I can't stop you from doing it at school, but you still can't talk that way at home. I also tried to, in just one sentence, caution her that sometimes people's feelings actually get deeply hurt through that sarcasm. You know what? That happened with all three of our kids. I had the exact same conversation. I couldn't believe it. But really, they generally did keep it at school. But it's just like an overnight thing where their language changes, their
attitude.
They seem like a different person.
But, you know, and I think one thing that we learned, we didn't know it, but and I've learned this too about people, adults. A lot of times anger, expressed anger, has fear underneath it.
And absolutely.
When it comes to facing the pressure that I may let someone down, even the a child or a young adult who is kind of throwing it back in your face, it doesn't mean that they don't have any fear, even though, you know, you'd like to put the fear of God in
them. Yeah, and that's what I was talking about. If we've grown past some of that stuff we went through when we were kind of that age, you can see it more clearly that that's fear underneath, and you can help address that instead of dealing with the, you know, what's coming at you.
Well, as we talk about the understanding years, that kind of leads to the next thing, which is dealing with my desire to be on my own and do things my way. And this is especially difficult when you feel oppressed. And it doesn't mean that somebody is oppressing you. It just seems to go with the understanding teenage years that you feel like, you know, people are scrutinizing you, looking down on you, and they're holding you back.
Yeah, I felt that way. I know there are just really a lot of examples about this, but I guess the top of mind one for me is that I noticed that boys just seem to feel like bursting. Like it's almost like they want their own house to run. They want their own territory. And really in our culture, that's just not allowed. And I can remember sometimes telling our boys, I know you want to do this your own way, but you're just stuck living here. So we have to communicate and work this out because you don't get to run the place.
Well, it's a tricky thing to protect an emerging adult while at the same time encouraging them and letting them go. And the needs of young women and young men are also very different. So collaborating as we deal with things during the understanding year is really key because you understand women way better than I do, and I understand men. And together, we were able to get on the same page and help each of our kids, you know, with the female part of it as well as the male part.
Yeah, and what you said there is just really good. You know, being a team and working on it together and us communicating and, you know, you helping me understand guys, that was a big deal.
Well, here's one that really stands out to me because I can remember it. I mean, even in the many years since I have been a teenager myself, the sudden or impending evidences of my own discomfort with myself.
Gosh.
I'm a bundle of nerves because there's so much I need to figure out. Am I really a dork? Will I be able to deliver? Will someone love me? What lies on the road ahead? Do I have what it takes to be the man or woman that I know that I'm expected to be in? And that all of that is a very confusing pressure and process that teenagers are experiencing.
Yeah. And you know, I can really only answer this from the female side, but this is so hard in middle school because some girls are way ahead in physical maturity. So it's also difficult if they're allowed to date at such an early age. You know, you start wondering, am I just a dork? Am I unlovable? Am I totally weird? Will I always be unnoticed? You'll also find that sometimes telling them they're just perfect will get the response from them. Well, of course you think that. You're my mom. You're my dad. You have to feel that way. I just think all you can do is keep talking and encouraging them to believe what God says about them, because you can't force them to believe something about themselves. But you can sure pray your heart out for them.
Well, even as you're talking right now, I'm thinking, I have this picture in my mind of myself. You know, I pretty much, the size I am now is what I was in about eighth grade. But I didn't have the control, you know, over myself. And I can remember tripping, walking down a hallway at school because, you know, I'd outgrown my brain or my body or whatever.
I understand exactly. When I was in middle school, I was 5'9", the height that I am now. And I would sit down and realize I'd flopped into my seat. I can remember deciding that I have to learn how to sit instead of flopping.
Another challenge of the understanding years is having my mistakes or my age thrown back in my face. And, you know, teenagers hate being treated like a child. You know, the whole thing, if you act grown up, we treat you like a grown up. Well, again, you know, when you think of the scriptures, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And when I think about the interactions that I had with our kids when they were teenagers, it was really the gentle, you know, so you could be firm and still be gentle at the same time, but it really doesn't do any good to turn criticism back on a young adult.
Right. And at some point, if you realize this has gone farther than what we're talking about right here, I would say that if you have even a hint that your kids are doing drugs, ask God to confirm it, to reveal it, to confirm it, and then do everything you can to get to the bottom of that. There is huge peer pressure in this area, and there are underlying things that push this desire along. And Satan will be doing everything he can to force your kid off track for a very long time. And I really believe we've seen it, that when you ask God to confirm it, God will reveal that.
Well, and you just mentioned drugs, but there's the whole issue of impurity and sexuality.
Right.
And my goodness, think of how things have changed just even since our children were going through junior high and high school. So big challenge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to work together. Here's another one in dealing with the understanding years, facing the criticism of not measuring up to people's expectations. And, you know, you can just almost see a teenager thinking, when I fail, everything falls apart. Mm-hmm. And when I fail, I'm not likable, I'm not useful, and I'm not lovable. And that is not something that you want to reinforce from a failure perspective.
Right. You know, hopefully along the way, you've let your kids know what you're truly not good at, and that you've let people down, that you don't measure up, and that life doesn't end because of it. And yes, it's painful, it's humility, you know, but helping them by keeping up honest encouragement. And again, in all of these phases, sometimes you have to dig really deep, especially if the phases that they're going through were difficult for you.
Well, and that kind of leads to this, dealing with the expectations of my friends and my peers. So, you know, you're interacting with your parents and dealing with that as well as other family members. But the reality is that I want to be cool, but my needs are changing. I need to be respected and cared for by others outside of my family. My parents don't understand what I'm going through. We never talk anymore. I've just given up, as though anyone would want to talk to a narcissistic, ungrateful ex-adolescent who used to love me. Whoop, did I say that or just think that out loud?
Both.
But, you know, there are a lot of things that are churning around inside of our teenagers. And I think we call this conversation the understanding years, because if I can understand what they're experiencing, at least to some degree, at least when I respond to my kids, I can have context for it.
I think, too, if we remember that what they're going through has shaken their world, and that their world out there is they're trying their best to figure it out and control it. And if when they come home, there's no safety, if it's not a refuge, then they have nowhere to go. And so that's why home, really, you have to provide, you know, just a safe place. And I know I feel like I'm preaching now, but I am, because you really want your kids to feel like everything's a mess out there and they're trying to find their way. But when they come home, there's complete safety and it's a refuge.
Well, these things are painful, but remember, someday they will come out of the tunnel and you will want to have a foundation of an adult friendship. And I think it's easy for parents to take ourselves too seriously, just like all teenagers seem to do, whether they admit it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Fourstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to Fourstream.com and click the radio button. You can also find more video and course information about Strong Homes at mystronghome.com.
Together, we are finding hope at Fourthstream.com.